Hello, and welcome back to Popcorn for Breakfast with your co-host, Kirk.
Hello.
I'm your other co-host, Cam, and we are back after a week-long sabbatical while I was enjoying some vacay with the fam in lovely, beautiful Disney World. We're back. We haven't been on the stream. Am I right, Kirk? I don't think we streamed before I left for vacation either. I think we just recorded old school.
That's right. It was a busy week. Busy week for you getting ready and just busy in life. So we dropped an episode sans live.
Yeah. And
I don't know if that's the correct grammar, but
no, it works. Sans live is what it will be referred to henceforth. But yeah, so we're here. We're back. Feels good to be back. We have, you know, it's one of those things, like when you take off of work and you go on vacation and you come back, you realize you didn't really get any time. You didn't really get any like time off of work per se. You just like reallocated that time so that you don't do any work for a period of time. And then you do double the work for the next period of time. At least that's how that typically goes for me.
Yes.
And that's very much the case with this podcast as well. Like it kept going, you know, like there still was movie news. There were still things happening. Like the Emmys happened. Netflix had a 3-hour global fan event called Tudum that happened. It didn't stop on our account. So we have an obligation to kind of fill you guys in on all of those things.
We sure do. And we're here for it. We're strapped in and ready to go.
We are. We're ready to go. I feel fantastic. Today's a good day. I've got, you know, I put a TV in the studio. I'm watching the Cardinals. They're on the brink of winning their 17th straight game, which is crazy to think about. There was, you know, if you know me, I like my mood very much flows with sports, and my team's have all been winning recently, which is good. It's got me in a good headspace. And right before we walked in here, I was eating room temperature leftover pizza, which is like, that's best case scenario. So I'm feeling fantastic. Kirk, how are you doing?
I am very exhausted. I think I have had a back spasm a little bit before this episode started. My dinner, also pizza, ironically, and it was like 3 hours ago, so I'm not doing well, Cam.
You're hungry.
You seem to be having a great time.
You're hangry.
And I am the opposite. I think I really need some chocolate and maybe a pound of chips and dip. I think that's
a pound.
A pound. A pound would do well.
Yeah, that sounds like a good plan. I mean, not to rub it in, Kirk, I didn't realize you were hangry. If I had known, I would have sent provisions to your home to make sure that you were well sustained for this episode, but here we are. We're in the stream. There's no getting out now. We're trapped. But I would say that I had so much food over the last week at Disney World that I don't know that I ever need to technically eat again. So I don't even know why I was eating room temperature pizza on my way in here. I also, you know, most of our vacations tend to be to theme parks, I would say, for my family.
Yes.
Usually the Disney parks. It's just kind of like what we enjoy doing. But this one was a little bit different for me because I brought my kids, and it was the first time traveling with both kids, which was exciting. It also allowed us to slow down the pace a little bit because we usually sort of violently rip through the Disney parks at the fastest pace humanly possible. And I have to say, I was skeptical that I wouldn't enjoy myself as much, but I think I enjoyed myself about 10 times more because the pace was slower. I got to snack more. I got to sit more. It was so hot. And I got to people watch more, which is really the best part of a theme park, I'm realizing as I age, that people watching is the best. And here's a new thing that I came up with I wanted to share because it makes life so much more fun at a theme park. If you see anyone wearing any sort of sports memorabilia at all for any team, and you know the name of the team, just throw them a go insert team. Whatever team they're wearing, throw it their way because that's what they want, you know? And you're making their day. They want the acknowledgement. Otherwise, they wouldn't have worn it to support their team. And they will assume that you are a fan of their team. no matter what it is. So yes. it's like going out and giving out free hugs to people. It's like giving smiles, you know?
Wow. I love this.
Oh, it was really so great. Do. I was just like walking around. Hey, go Ravens. Go Ravens, buddy. Like, let's go. And people are just getting fired up. That's my new thing. I'm going to start doing that because I wear sports stuff every now and again. And every once in a while, I'll get like a go pack go or something. And, you know, it puts a little pep in my stuff. I'm like, yeah, that guy gets it. You know,
it does.
He's down with
secretly,
it.
Secretly, deep down, you're like, I despise the Ravens.
Yeah. If they'll never know. And that's what makes it fun too, because then it's like a little like sneaky game, you know, you're like, go Eagles. And you're like, I hate the Eagles. They're the worst, you know? Oh, I don't
hate the Eagles. They haven't won since 1999.
I'm just saying, if you're looking for a way to pass the time, that's a great way to do it. It's a great way to do it.
I love it. I'm going to partake in this game, not just in amusement parks, but I think in anywhere. Everyday life.
You can do it anywhere. That's the great thing about it. It's just a nice way to really spice up your life.
Yes.
Or for a variation on the game, you can confuse them by saying a random team name. Like if they're wearing, like let's use our Ravens example. You just go and be like, hey buddy, go Titans. You know? And they'll be like, what? Does he think this is the Titans? Is he trolling me? Then you put them in a position where they're like, I don't know what's happening.
That would be me, but not in an ironic way. That would just legitimately be me because I don't know the sports team's mascots.
So you should just do it. Just go up and if you don't know the logo, just say a name of a team that you do know. Just be like, yes. Yeah, Jaguars, let's go. Let's go Miami Heat. Let's do this.
Yes, go Lancers. Let's go.
Yeah, make up fake team names too. I think that works. Anyway, it's a great strategy. I highly recommend. It really adds a little spice to your day for sure. All right. But like I said, we have tons to get to. And the other thing I wanted to mention is our movie review for this week. So if you're on the stream, you'll get the review tonight. Congratulations. If you're not on the stream and you're listening in podcast form, you'll have to wait until at least this Friday to hear it. I'm excited about this one because we're swinging back and reviewing a movie that you and I both watched separately and had talked about wanting to review on this podcast, but it just didn't really line up. And so we were kind of waiting for the first open pocket and try as we may. We tried to go see Dear Evan Hansen this weekend, but it just didn't work out in terms of like scheduling. Life happens. I was coming back from vacation. There was all this stuff. We both really wanted to see it. We didn't get a chance to this weekend, which is a bummer, but it gives us the opportunity to swing back and review Pig starring Nicolas Cage, which is going to be the subject of our review. So it's an interesting one and I'm super excited to talk about it. So if you are listening to this in the podcast form and it's like Wednesday or Thursday, do us a favor, go home, rent Pig. You can rent it on like Prime Video, Vudu, whatever. It's 90 minutes. So if you say like, oh, I don't really have time in my evenings to watch a movie, that's not true with this one. Because if you're watching back-to-back episodes of The Great British Baking Show, then you definitely have time to watch this movie because it's only 90 minutes long. And I recommend it because it makes the review experience a little bit more enjoyable.
Indeed.
All right, but before we get into all of that, we have to cover all of the latest news, which of course, like I said, means the Emmys, it means ta-dum. Is that how you pronounce that, ta-dum? Should we talk about that now?
Ta-dum.
Ta-dum. Yeah, it's the ta-dum. It's the, I always say dum-dum, you know, if I'm making the sound myself.
I never have a ta to it. I always have, it's always duh or buh, you know, it's.
Yeah, it's always duh for me. And if you guys are wondering what we're babbling about, it's the Netflix sound. When you log in or whenever you watch a Netflix original show, it does that. Doom-doom. See, I did D's. I did D's there.
And see, I'm a B guy.
So that was the reason they named their event Ta-Dum or Too-Dum or whatever, because they said that's the sound. That is the onomatopoeia of the sound, which it sounds like Kirk and I both disagree and think that they have phonetically destroyed it, that word.
Yes. I mean, when you look at it, it's either tootum or ta-dum, and that does not match the sound. I mean, I heard people really trying hard and, you know, in the events with their lanyards trying to say it. And I'm like, no, you're forcing it. You're trying to make fetch happen.
Yeah, exactly. And your point on tootum is exactly right. Because if it's ta-dum, there has to be an H.
Yes.
It has to be there. Or there has to be some sort of like hyphen M dash type thing in there. They're just wrong. Okay. They're wrong. They should have really thought harder before they made this made up word. Okay. Also, I had heard a rumor back in the day that that sound, which didn't come around until after season two of House of Cards, sound was the same sound of Frank knocking on the White House desk. And that was the reason that it was the sound for Netflix. But I have no idea if that's true. Have you ever heard that before?
I have not. I have not, but I'm going to look it up furiously while you talk.
Because he does this thing in that show where, you know, and spoiler alert, I don't think many people are going back and watching that due to the Kevin Spacey situation, but there is a thing that Frank Underwood does in that show where he knocks his ring on the table twice, like taps it. And at the end of season two, when he's finally like in the Oval Office, president of the United States, the season ends with him tapping his ring on the desk, being like, boom, boom, I'm here. And people were saying that that is what the sound is. Because it does have sort of a knocking sound to it in a way whenever you log into Netflix. You know what I mean? It has a little bit of a knock to it.
Yeah. If you think of the, if in that sense, if you're thinking of a thud, you're thinking boom, boom with the
yeah.
B. With the B. Come on.
It's true. You're right. But anyway, we'll figure that out. We'll figure that out.
I will argue the B to the ground. I will not stop for the next
I like it. I think that's a, I think it's a good hill to die on, to be honest with you. I think you've got a strong point. All right. Let's pop it up real quick. Can I do that while you're searching?
Yes, please.
Okay. Let's pop it up. All right, so we're going to talk about Tudum. We just did for a long time, but we're going to talk about that towards the end. I want to start by talking about the Emmys, which the Emmys are one of those things. Like, I think most award shows kind of suck. I especially feel that way now after the Oscars really sucked this year. The Oscars were sort of like the only show that I get excited for, and I still get excited for the awards, but I get a lot less so excited for the show itself. Mercifully, I was on vacation this week, so I didn't get to watch. Darn. You know, what a shame. But I did see the recap of everything, and I watched some speeches from some people and wanted to get some takeaways from the Emmys. I think the big ones for me, Netflix continues to smash the competition. The gap is not shrinking. It's actually growing. Like, I think people thought with Disney Plus coming into the fold, with you know, HBO Max being sort of rolled in there now, that the network streaming service gap would close. Not the case. So Netflix had 44 wins, which was more than twice as many as the next closest, which was HBO at 19, followed by Disney Plus. So it's the Netflix show, basically, at the Emmys. And tonight, once again, as it has been in recent years, and as we saw at the Golden Globes, it was The Crown that was dominating everything. The Crown swept the dramatic category in acting awards. Every single acting award in the dramatic series categories went to The Crown. A couple of HBO shows fared well. And then, of course, Ted Lasso fared really well in the comedy series category, with Jason Sudeikis taking home awards and then them also getting awards in the supporting acting categories. So it did pretty well. Any other thoughts on the Emmys that stuck out to you? I can give one real quick, which was that the variety show, like the, I forget what they named the category, but it was basically like Hamilton versus Inside, the Bo Burnham special. And I was waiting to see how that one panned out. And it was actually Hamilton that took home the award, which I thought was a little bit of a surprise, because I felt like Inside had the momentum and just in general is more indicative of what that category is. Like, it usually goes to stand up or some sort of like performance, you know, Oh Hello or something like that. Not right. Necessarily like, we've seen every award show struggle to categorize Hamilton, because it was technically a film. It was technically a film made for TV, but it was also a film that could be considered for Oscars. And so it was this whole thing. But it took home another award at the Emmys.
It's just categorically insane.
It is. They did it on purpose. They were like, listen, we will make this so that it is you cannot catalog it. It cannot go in any category. It will win every award in every category. And now that plan has come into full focus, I think it's pure genius. But anything else that you took away from the Emmys, Kirk?
You know, when Hamilton dropped, it felt like it happened so long ago. The fact that it's still eligible for awards.
Well, it's been over a year.
It's baffling. It's absolutely baffling to me. I don't get it. But I know, you know, award shows got pushed back a lot too, so that's part of it. But it just doesn't seem like real. Like the Queen's Gambit just, you know, also still winning stuff. I'm just like, wait a second. We've done this already. We've already given them their awards. Why are they back for more? And I kind of felt the same way. Variety special. I mean, why don't they just have best stage filmed performance?
Best film stage performance, because that's basically what it is. And there's always something like that.
Yeah, and now we have Come From Away, you know, the pro shot on Apple TV Plus. Yep. We have this. We have just dozens of things coming out from stage versions. So that was kind of like, you know, how The Martian won for best comedy at the Golden Globes years ago. Kind of
infamously. That's how that felt.
Yeah. And then with everything else, I'm mostly just shamefaced with Ted Lasso and The Crown, because I have started both. I have not finished either, and or even caught up, if I should say correctly. I really need to step my game up on those television shows.
Yeah. It gets so confused at these shows when, like, what is being awarded, like which season is being awarded, because like right now Ted Lasso season 2 is going on, but those awards were for like Ted Lasso season 1, I assume, right. So it's like confusing because they all release at different times, and then you're like, whoa, which seat, like, I'm watching this show right now, are we giving awards to this, or are we giving awards to the last season, or what's happening? But it makes sense, because like I said on the last episode, I loved season 1 of Ted Lasso. Less so on season 2, though it's fine. The Crown, this is like extra motivation for me on The Crown, because I am still stuck on the transition between season 2, season 3 hump, where they changed the cast over, and it shook me to my core and ruined the experience for me, and I'm trying to build it back. But I've almost grinded my way through season 3, and the light is at the end of the tunnel. I've heard nothing but good things about season 4, so I just have to keep climbing, man. Just have to keep grinding after it. But that's the thing, like no real surprises. I was really glad to see Hacks on HBO get some love. Jean Smart won Best Actress in a Limited Series Comedy or something like that. Or no, Best Actress in a Comedy Series is what she won.
Okay.
And they had a nomination for Best Supporting, and they won Best Writing for a Comedy Series. So, yeah, that was exciting. Hacks is a good show. If you haven't checked that one out, I think it has a ton of potential. And then Mare of Easttown. Mare of Easttown took home some awards in the limited series category. Though, here's the thing, too. Limited series is like, you know, Big Little Lies, I think when it won for limited series. And then they came out with a season 2. It's like, how does that work? And there are discussions about season 2 of Mare of Easttown, which I am vehemently opposed to, but, you know, like, how does that work? They should rescind your award. If you come out with a season 2, they should be like, no, you were supposed to be a limited series. You lied.
Right. Just like when they, you know, like the Miss Americas get their title stripped if they do something against the code of conduct. That is a code of conduct.
I agree.
You've broken the rules of what you stood for. Come on.
Yeah. And it's happened a couple of times. And also, let's just stop with the stretching. Like, let's just be okay with a limited series being a limited series. Like, don't do Queen's Gambit season 2. Don't do Watchmen season 2. Like, please, just leave it. Because Big Little Lies season 2 wasn't as good at all. And there's a reason for that. It's because the source material, it was written in a certain way. And so when you try to stretch it beyond that, it sucks. Let's just not do that at all.
Agreed.
All right, that's the Emmys. I don't know if there's anything else to talk about there. Michaela Cole won again first. She was the first African-American or first black woman to win a writing award at the Emmys, I believe, if I'm remembering that correctly. She also made history at the Golden Globes.
Nice.
And was cast in Black Panther Wakanda Forever as a result of her amazingness. So congrats to her.
Boom.
Scraping up more wins. And yeah, like I said, no surprises. None whatsoever. So if you watched it, congrats. I'm glad. I for one, am glad I did not, because there were no surprises and those award shows usually aren't that great. So here we are. All right, let's move on to some other movie news before we get into Netflix's event. First is Bond. Bond is obviously in the news because of the impending release, finally, of James Bond No Time to Die, Bond 25, whatever you want to call it. The big finale to the Daniel Craig era as Bond is coming out October 8th. And so, as people are wont to do in these scenarios, everybody's already looking ahead to the next Bond. And Barbara Broccoli, who is, of course, the matriarch of the, I don't know, what do you call that family? Like the Bond, they are like the Bond
dynasty.
Dynasty. Bond, yeah, dynasty. They own the rights to all of it. They're the decision makers. They're still heavily involved because of the way that that contract shakes out. But according to Deadline, Barbara Broccoli says the search for the next Bond begins next year, 2022. So they're going to wait until this movie's in the rear view, reset, and then start evaluating their options for the path forward, which frankly is exciting to hear that that's happening soon. And of course, one of the questions that has been swirling is, will they do a female Bond? And Daniel Craig was asked about this and he gave an interesting quote, which I tend to agree with. I'm paraphrasing the first part, which is that he said, you know, there shouldn't have to be a woman James Bond. He said, and I quote, there should simply be better parts for women and actors of color. So I agree with that statement to a half extent. First of all, is like Bond was never created as a character for women to idolize. You know, like he was a male fantasy, and at times one that was, or at most of the time, one that was just extrapolated to an extent that's well beyond reality. You know, his relationships with women oftentimes are not what we should aspire to as good people in this world. No. His abilities and his suave and all of these things are like, it's a fairy tale. You know, it's an action hero fairy tale type of thing. So, you know, if they, I think they're doing like a, in this movie, is it in this movie where they'll have a female 007? Is she 007 or is he still 007?
She will be 007.
She will
is
be 007.
The rumor.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. That's the rumor. So, yeah, like people were like, oh, female 007. I don't think that's the issue. I think the issue is a female James Bond or a female Bond or whatever. Like, I think that that sort of, he's right. Like, they should just create better roles. You know, people get mad whenever they like rewrite characters, like comic book characters, as different people and things like that. And that's because they're an established character. But
right.
I see no reason why you couldn't have a black James Bond, you know, an Indian James Bond, whatever, like a Bond of color. But for me, James Bond, like, if I was, I mean, I don't want to say, like, I don't want to speak out of turn, but like, if I was a woman, I wouldn't want to be James Bond because that's not a character that like is created for me. It's created for a different purpose. So let's just like turn the page on that and move on. I don't know.
Right. There'd be a lot of retconning that would have to go around because, you know, all of the Bonds are somewhat interconnected. Obviously, they take place in different eras. They take place in different statuses of Bond's life. Strangely enough, they still reference later on that he was married, which I still don't understand how that works, but whatever. But the world of James Bond, the multiverse of James Bond really doesn't, it doesn't lend itself to be a woman's role. So absolutely, I say, not write your own. Like that sounds offensive, right? Or it sounds combative. It's no, like write one that would be better than this. Write one that would be the ideal woman of today. Make that character stand out and tell me what they're struggling through, what they're fighting through, or what that looks like today.
Well, yeah, because I think, again, it's like people want the character that they grew up with to stay within the confines of a certain character mold. So changing the color of their skin or their background or whatever, I don't think is a big change, but changing their gender is a big change. You look at Miles Morales. I think Miles Morales is like the example that I will always give, right? They made a new person Spider-Man, but it wasn't Peter Parker. It was something better. It was a character that had a rich background with right. He had a dad who was African-American and a mom who was Hispanic and grew up in this, you know, diverse neighborhood and more accurately reflected the types of places that people are growing up now, the types of people that people are growing up with. They didn't say we made Peter Parker black because that would be lame. They created a new character that was better, that had its own story, that was richer. And for my money right now, like Miles Morales is 1,000 times more popular and cool than Peter Parker. In my opinion, like just based on what I see. When my kids watch the Spider-Man show, they want to be Miles. They want to be that Spider-Man. They want to mm-hmm. be, you know, when they act like Spider-Man, it's that version of Spider-Man. So I think they can do the same thing and create female action heroes that are better than James Bond, exactly what Daniel Craig's saying. So people are going to get all hot and bothered about that quote. I don't think they need to. I think he makes a good point. So
no, what they should be bothered about, and this part's just kind of just straight up funny, is that, you know, Daniel Craig is famously quoted, paraphrased again, that he'd rather, you know, gouge his own eyeballs out with his fingernails than do another Bond film, aka No Time to Die. But then now there's a free movie on I think on all platforms, definitely on iTunes, about his final run as James Bond. You know, you got the big ending trailer that showcases him. It's like, finally it has arrived, and they delayed it to make sure that it's a big event. And, you know, he's like tearing up. He's like, man, what a ride. Right before.
You're like, right, yeah, I thought you hated this, dude.
I mean, oh, how the turntables have turned, Mr. Daniel Craig.
I know.
But I'm glad he did it, because I think that it brought him to an appreciation that, would people know who Daniel Craig is without Bond?
No.
Yes. Would he
I disagree.
Be...
Oh, I disagree.
Would he be at the level that he is? Absolutely not. And
oh, that's yeah.
something to say.
He wouldn't be a household name.
Right.
Yeah.
That's something to say about James Bond, because, you know, I'm pretty sure my wife, Aubrey, has never seen a single Bond movie. And I'm shocked, because, you know, this is number 25. That's a lot of movies to dodge, but I mean, bravo at the same time. So the power of James Bond, like, she knows who the current James Bond is. She's always known who the current James Bond is without seeing that movie. So it's to call this character irrelevant is just a little bit immature. And I'm excited to see Daniel Craig take it on. I'm excited to see what version of Bond we get next.
Yes, and that's what I want to talk about to you. First of all, I want to make one comment on that real quick, because I can remember that when Daniel Craig was cast as Bond, the big scandal was him having blonde hair. Do you remember this? They were like,
oh, I do.
They were like, oh, can Bond be a blonde person? Can he be blonde? So I just want to say, like, yes, there are things that we're still working on in this world, obviously, but we should celebrate some of the small wins. Like, we are legitimately talking about having a black James Bond or a James Bond of color, what have you. Like, that is for sure on the table. And at this point, I would be somewhat surprised if it wasn't at least a strong consideration. When in 2008 or whatever, we were talking about, oh, he has blonde hair, James Bond is brunette or whatever. Like, we are making progress. So that's a good sign. But I do want to talk about who you want to see as Bond, Kirk. I have some picks of my own, but I don't know. Do you have any in your hip pocket that you have just like waiting for a rainy day?
My number one choice has to go to Mr. Superman himself, Henry Cavill.
Really?
Henry Cavill, yes. He is number one on my list. He has been a buzz for it for a long time. I believe he auditioned for it. And he lost to Daniel Craig. I believe he was in like the top three, if I remember correctly. And seeing him just progress his career and literally enter every single franchise, it only makes sense for him to not sabotage, but to take over the Bond franchise as well. And I think we got a lot of calm, cool, and collected of him from Enola Holmes. I know he was in Man from U.N.C.L.E., which did get him some good reviews. It was in Mission Impossible. Excellent. But I think in Enola Holmes, there was this, again, calm, cool, and collected version of him that was very suave. There was some swagger there that he didn't have to throw his weight around. He was just present, and that's what Bond is. He is a presence. So that's my biggest pick right now.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said for that. Like taking on a role that has a certain amount of weight to it. I think it almost took Daniel Craig some time to grow into that a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think Skyfall is really where he comes into his own, and you're like, that's Bond.
Yes.
Casino Royale is a fantastic Bond movie in its own right, but the whole time you're kind of watching this going like, who's this rugged 00 agent? You know, it's not James Bond for sure. He's not polished enough. He's a little grittier. He didn't really carry himself that way. So the fact that Henry Cavill's played Superman, he's now played Sherlock Holmes, albeit as a supporting role, you may have a point there. My top pick would be Tom Hiddleston. I love Tom Hiddleston. I think he would be great in that role. I loved him in The Night Manager, which is a very similar role. And he's only 40, so I think he's still, you know, Daniel Craig is 53 now, so the timeline might be there for him to star in a few movies if they turn him out quickly. I also like the idea of Daniel Kaluuya a lot.
Okay.
I like the idea of Daniel Kaluuya. I think he could be a really cool Bond. He has acting chops galore. Him in a tense negotiating situation would be incredible. And I want to see him as an action hero. I just do. I think he has that within him, and I want to see him go there. And then my final wild card pick would be Dev Patel. I love Dev Patel. I think I saw The Green Knight and Lion, like, he has grown into this like very tall, very suave type of guy. He has the sort of like bedside manner that you need to be James Bond, in the way that he delivers, the timbre of his voice, etc. I think he's got the right bone structure for it. I don't know. I think it could be a good fit. So those are some ones that have popped up on my list. And we've got a comment about Henry Golding, who just starred in Snake Eyes and was also in the Crazy Rich Asians and a few others. That would actually be a really good pick too, one that I had not considered. So we
excellent choice.
Shall see. We shall see. But we'll keep you guys posted there. Next up, Disney, man. They're finding themselves in the courtroom a lot these days. Most recently with back in August, a copyright termination suit was filed by the Steve Ditko family. One of the creators of some very popular characters. It's not the first time that they've come up against this kind of thing, but basically what I wanted to clarify, and this is the Hollywood Reporter is all over all this stuff. What people were grabbing and throwing all over the internet is Disney might lose Spider-Man in 2023, or Disney might lose the rights to Iron Man and Doctor Strange, and like crazy. It was getting wild out there. To be clear, that is not on the table. What they are lobbying for is to take a share of what Disney has. So the way that it goes right now is that Disney has the full rights to those characters and can use them however they want and keep 100% of the profits. What this lawsuit or the active suits that are out there right now for these characters, and there's a bunch of them like Doctor Strange, Iron Man, Falcon, Black Widow, Thor, Spider-Man, etc. What these lawsuits would do was take away full control of the characters from Disney and basically make it so it becomes a profit sharing situation. So yes. Disney would still have creative control over what to do with the characters. They still have the rights to the characters. So there's no risk of like the MCU is going away, but it would just be, they would have to give some of their money to the estates of these people who created these characters. So
yeah,
this has happened before. It happened with DC. DC ended up winning. Those same two lawyers actually are on this case as well. So that's kind of funny, like going against each other again, fighting on the same sides that they were just with Disney this time. So it'll be interesting to watch, but I did want to grab that and just be like, don't worry. It's like, we're not losing movies or anything like that. It's just clickbait, guys. It's just clickbait. All right?
Yeah. And I don't think the families would want to ultimately, they would not ultimately want to own the rights to them and not be able to sell them out again, because then
they lose their value.
On them.
Yeah. They would lose their value and they'd have
death threats.
End up selling their rights anyway. So really, like, what they want is just profit sharing of it. And they know that it's at its most profitable with Disney. So that's like, sometimes you got to use your brain when you see these, like, these headlines floating around that, like, oh, they're going to lose their control. Like, come on. No matter what the scenario, it's at its most valuable with Disney and creative control of it. So however it shakes out, they're still going to be creating stuff. It's going to be okay.
Right.
Good point, Kirk. Okay, next up, this Mario movie. Can we talk about this Mario movie? Over the weekend, I think it was over the weekend, there was cast... It was like Thursday, Friday-ish.
Yes.
There was casting news for a Mario, as in Super Mario Bros., movie that's just being called Mario, that's in the works from Nintendo and Illumination, which is the studio famously behind Despicable Me. And the cast was released in a video that was like showing the logo next to the people's faces. And there were some hilarious reaction videos to this, like on TikTok, people just losing their minds. And here is the cast as it was announced. Okay. Chris Pratt will be Mario. Anya Taylor-Joy is Peach. Charlie Day of Always Sunny fame is Luigi. Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong. Keegan-Michael Key as Toad, and Jack Black as Bowser. And those are just the people that they've paired with, like, that they're telling us which characters they're playing. There's tons more people on the cast list that are worth noting, but we don't know who they're playing yet. So, with that in mind, what is your reaction to this casting?
Well, first question, do we have a verification that it is an animated film?
It is an animated film, yes.
Okay, which makes sense, right? Because of the studio. But you never know. You never know these days. Why not?
No, for sure. You definitely don't know. It's not. You can't make safe assumptions there.
My second note is my favorite fan vote for casting would be Danny DeVito as Wario.
Oh, the Danny DeVito as Wario. That's a slam dunk. That would be incredible.
Oh, man. That came out immediately. And I really think... with the power of social media, I really think it's going to happen. I don't see how it doesn't happen with Charlie Day in the seat right there as well as Luigi. So come on, just give us that at least and make this movie a little bit more interesting. I mean, I guess you have just like, you know, years and years of possible storylines and content, but can you really make a narrative that's exciting enough for that long?
So I think my biggest concern is the dialogue, you know, like I think the story will be there because they've made plenty of games that are like long and compelling to an extent, but what will the dialogue be? There's never lengthy dialogue in these games ever. And the characters have absurd caricature-ish voices. Like even Princess Peach's voice is so high pitched that like it's insanity. And you know, obviously, Mario and Luigi have very thick, over-accentuated Italian accents. Bowser basically never does anything but... You know what I mean? Like, that's the extent of what he does. And, like, Donkey Kong makes noises that, like, no human being can recreate. So I'm just... I am perplexed as to how this will work from a dialogue perspective.
Actually, it's just 90 minutes of nonsense and non sequiturs. Like, let's go.
Honestly, like if they just, that's what I'm picturing, to be honest with you. Like, that's all I can imagine in my brain right now. So yes, it will be interesting because it's like, you have to do the accents, right? Like, yes, you have to do the Italian accents, but you also have to make this movie, like, you have to make it so that they can talk to each other. Like, Bowser has to be able to talk, and it's Jack Black, so, like, you're going to want him to talk. Yeah. And, like, Donkey Kong has to be able to talk, even though he doesn't really in the game. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I cannot picture in my brain how this works. I really cannot.
It'll all be dialogue bubbles. That's it. Just nonstop action from start to finish, dialogue bubbles to keep you in the loop, and just mad chaos.
I don't know, but I'm perplexed. I mean, I think people were immediately like, Chris Pratt, what? I saw somebody go, you know, people love to hate on Chris Pratt for whatever reason. You know, pretty much everything people throw out about him is not true or unfounded. So it's a bummer because he's such a nice guy, and like everybody who has worked with him, regardless of what their political affiliation, religious affiliations, etc., they have nothing but good things to say about this guy.
That's right.
But I digress. They were like, he's not even Italian. I'm like, well, yeah, the guy who's played Mario and Luigi for like 20 years is an Italian. He's like a French descent and like natively speaks English, French, and Spanish. He's not even slightly Italian, and that's Charles Martinet. But I'm just like, come on, like at least come up with a real complaint. Like, you can just say Chris Pratt as Mario makes no sense. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. It makes no sense. None of this does. But here we are. And I have to say, no matter how it looks or whatever, I'm there opening night because this is must. This is must see. And I love Mario. So this is like, it will probably be a giant dumpster fire, but I'm so here for it.
I mean, I think it's going to be more terrible than Sonic the Hedgehog movie. I really do.
Dude, I know.
That's a big goal to do, to be worse than Sonic the Hedgehog the movie.
That movie was a big stinker.
But I think Mario could take that throne, unfortunately.
It's possible that that movie, like they saw that that movie sucked and did as well as it did in theaters, and they were like, yeah, we're definitely making this because it doesn't even matter. Like, that movie's getting a sequel, you know?
Right.
so it's like, it doesn't matter. It can look like trash. It can be trash, and it still will print money. So
that's, hey man, just like the producers. That's the whole gambit, you know, the musical to producers. Absolutely. Just put out garbage and take the money.
Take the money. You can't argue with it. All right, next up, couple of quick hitters. First one is George Clooney and Brad Pitt have been cast in an untitled movie that John Watts is going to direct. So John Watts, the director of Spider-Man Homecoming and Far From Home and No Way Home, is the director. There is a bidding war right now between a whole slew of studios, including Lionsgate, Apple, Netflix, Amazon, Universal, MGM, Warner Bros., Sony, etc., to buy the film.
Quibi.
They're going to come out victorious. Quibi's like, this is it. This is the hill we die on. This is where we make our comeback. But that's on the way from via the Hollywood Reporter. The next Fantastic Beasts movie, which will be the third in the series, had its title announced, which is Fantastic Beasts: The Secrets of Dumbledore. Yeah. The last one was called The Crimes of Grindelwald. So they're kind of staying on that, like the blank of insert person here. So we'll figure out. I mean, Dumbledore for sure has secrets galore. I didn't like that guy for a single day, Dumbledore. He's got shifty intentions.
Yes.
So we'll find out what he's all about. And of course, Johnny Depp not returning for that film. That's the big story there. And we got to look at the new Paul Thomas Anderson movie, Licorice Pizza, which all-time title already, incredible. Yes. It very much has like an older Paul Thomas Anderson feel to it with the trailer, like a Boogie Nights type situation. And something I did not know until the trailer is that Philip Seymour Hoffman's son, Cooper Hoffman, is starring in this movie. And I believe it's his first appearance in a film. So exciting stuff there.
Very cool.
All right, let's talk about Ta-dum. We're going to go quick through this. I'm going to give you all of the big headlines that I saw coming out of this thing, and I want to know which one you're most excited about. Can we do that?
Okay, I can do that.
All right. The Witcher was renewed for season 3 Enola Holmes 2 is in the works with all the original cast reprising their roles, and that's set to begin filming soon. Emily in Paris Season 2 is coming out December 22nd. Tiger King 2 is coming out November 17th. Extraction 2 is about to begin filming in Australia. Cobra Kai Season 4 comes out on New Year's Eve of this year. We got our first look at DC's The Sandman for Netflix. Sex Education, which is about to start Season 3, is renewed for Season 4. We got a new look at the Cowboy Bebop live-action show. We got a new look at Stranger Things 4. We got a new look for the final season, which is a two-part season, of Ozark, and then a new trailer for The Harder They Fall, which is the Western film starring Regina King, Lakeith Stanfield, Jonathan Majors, Zazie Beetz, etc., etc., etc.
Yes.
Which of those, Kirk, which of those is the most exciting to you?
Well, you threw me through a loop there with The Harder They Fall, because you'd given me like about 30 different items that I was trying to write down with my pen, and I just couldn't keep up. So I need a I need a Scantron next time, and I'd like to fill out my answers.
Your bubbles, yeah. Well, we can arrange that.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. I'm going to go. So taking out The Harder We Fall, because Lakeith Stanfield just should always get his own category. So taking that out of the mix here, because that's going to be excellent. I'm going to go top to bottom, Stranger Things Season 4, Tiger King 2, Enola Holmes 2, Ozark Season 4, Part 1 and 2, and Extraction 2. In that order, sir. I'm so excited for those.
Did you see... So speaking on the Stranger Things 4, I am so turned around on this season of Stranger
Would
Things.
Would you say you're upside down?
I am.
Down,
I'm upside down. Upside down. I'm that's where I'm at right now. Because I feel like every time they show us something, first of all, they show us like tiny little teeny
Wait,
tiny.
Hold on, hold on, hold on.
What?
Upside Down. Is that like an S Club 7 song?
Yeah, it was. Yes. You're welcome.
I caught up late. Thank you. Continue.
Anyway, every time they show us something for Stranger Things 4, it's like very small. First of all, this clip was very small. And I have no way. It's all unrelated. It's like all like, here's this thing over here. And so now it's like there's this house where like
the Creel house.
The Creel house where like back in the day there was a family who had some sort of encounter with the Upside Down and that whole situation. And now they're like in this house. Like, is this the house that they moved to? Meaning like Winona Ryder and her fam? Or what is happening?
That would make sense. That would make the most sense. And the only way that this would be possible to continue, right? Like the Upside Down just doesn't give up. The Upside Down is it's bigger than just in Hawkins, right?
Right.
So that would be exciting if it's just like a house they stumble upon.
Yeah.
Which it could be. It could be, right? Like it's down the street in the neighborhood they move to. I guess that's all right, but man, if it's the house they live in, I mean, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, like in all great horror series, of which there are very few, I think, great horror series, there is a point where it's, you figure out like there's no getting away from this, like it's mm-hmm. bigger than you, and you are linked to it forever, and so this feels like that point. So I like your picks a lot. I'm gonna go off the board and go with The Sandman, because I, first of all time audiobook, this is the Neil Gaiman interpretation of The Sandman. It had in a stellar audiobook, one of the best ever, with a great cast, including James McAvoy. Neil Gaiman narrated it, and they just came out with the second one, which I have waiting on my phone for a rainy day to listen through it. But the feel of the show looks like the graphic novel and gives off the exact right vibe, and I'm very excited about that, because you always kind of wonder, you know, when they adapt something like that, like, will it actually live up? And I feel like it will. I feel like it will. So I'm very excited for that.
So is this like Marvel's Sandman? Is this correct? What is
no,
this?
No, DC. Yeah, it's a DC series. It's like a graphic novel, like almost like a mythological type story. But yeah, okay. It's good stuff. All right, next up, real quick, and we've gone way long because we had 2 weeks of stuff to talk about, but quick things on what to watch for. Star Wars Visions is available on Disney Plus to watch now. These are the Star Wars shorts that were created by various anime studios. Took a peek at some of that stuff. Really slick, really cool. Loving it so far. So highly recommend that on Disney Plus. What If Episode 8, which is the penultimate episode, that drops tomorrow, which is Wednesday, September 29th. And that is what they're officially calling it. What If Ultron 1? What If Ultron 1? So that's definitely an enticing one. The Many Saints of Newark, which is the Sopranos prequel film, is releasing this Friday in theaters and on HBO Max. Venom Let There Be Carnage releases in theater this weekend. And I think that's it. Promising Young Woman is now available on HBO Max. That one caught my eye. It's worth checking out. If you didn't get to catch it during the award cycle, it's now available on HBO Max. But
and we reviewed it, so make sure you listen to our episode after.
We did, yeah. Swing back. Great point, Kirk. Good plug. Good plug. We did review it, so go back and listen to it after you check out the movie. All right. Without further ado, let's move into our review of Pig by popping it up one last time.
Pig.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Popcorn for Breakfast. Our executive producer is Ryan Spriggs, and our original music is by Rhetoric. You can check them out on Spotify, Apple Music, and Amazon Music. We are on Facebook at Popcorn4Breakfast, as well as Twitter and Instagram at PFB_podcast. Check the description to find out how you can connect with us on Discord, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and follow us on Twitch. If you like this episode, please subscribe, like, comment, rate, or review. And if you want more, you can find all of our episodes and videos on popcorn4breakfast.com. We'll see you next time.